There was no public testimony at this week's hearing on the school budget, and that's likely because the spending plan is balanced and pretty much status quo. Unlike many districts across the state, Petersburg's not facing any major cuts this time around. The draft budget would spend about $8.8 million, which is pretty close to this year. Board President Gene Ellis complimented the staff.
To have a balanced budget at this point in time with all the financial things that have happened shows what a good, conscientious job people in at the school district have done of spending our money very carefully and doing a good job of providing a great education within the limitations that we have. So very pleased with that.
Just three of the five board members were present this week. Jim Schwartz joined Ellis and John Bringhurst to pass the budget. It does not yet take into account an additional $260,000 in state funding the district's expected to receive because of legislation passed late last session. Board members have discussed using that money for capital improvements rather than day-to-day operations. The school budget depends on a $1.8 million contribution from the city of Petersburg, which is the same as last year. The city council has not yet approved its own budget, but the draft plan includes the full school request. The school board also awarded a new three-year contract to its longtime busing provider, Stikeen Services. Superintendent Rob Thomason noted that the local company and its owners, Kurt and Christy Birchall, have a great reputation with state education officials.
When we got a hold of the Department of Education, we had some questions just about the process and were we doing it correctly. And they said, oh, Birchall, Stikeen Services, outstanding. They get their paperwork in order, their buses are in order. I mean, everybody you talk to, Stikeen Services is... they're just outstanding. They provide outstanding service, too.
The busing cost remains unchanged at just under $160,000 a year, and Petersburg's expecting additional pupil transportation funding from the state this year. In other news, the high school middle school library will be getting a makeover this summer. Librarian Carissa Cotta gave the board an update.
We are in the midst of big plans for our library. Right now we are launching our library renovation project. And I would like to start by saying we've had a number of organizational meetings to help us formulate our plan.
Cotta said they've gotten input from school administrators and staff, including current and former school librarians, as well as the district's technology coordinator and maintenance team that will implement the plan. Cotta described a variety of concepts and goals for the renovation. One of them is called the Learning Commons.
The Learning Commons is basically something that we're starting, and we're doing it now. We just want to increase it. We want kids to be able to be in the library. It's not the library of old. You know, we say it's not your grandmother's library. It's not your mother's library. It's your library, and it does not have to be quiet. You're there. You can talk and work in groups. You can have tutoring. It's flexible. You're not relegated to a certain time of day, those kinds of things. We want to be available to students. With that in mind, we need a dynamic space, so we have lots of different groups that are in at the same time, and that is part of this design that we're coming up with. It is collaborative, and more than that, it's a comfortable place for kids, and they enjoy being there.
One goal is to make the library a better meeting space for staff and students, but there will still be quiet study rooms. Cotta said the library was also looking at expanding its collection of e-books and providing students with more access to technology, like multimedia production labs. Staff will be doing a lot of the work this summer.
We are carpeting. We have original carpet to 1986. We're putting in new ceiling lighting that's attractive, kind of hanging lights. We have production lab lighting for the green screen. Oops. And we have new table chairs, mobile shelves to create those dynamic spaces. We're going to do some window shades similar to the ones in here. And we're even creating a classroom or just a nice place outside in the courtyard with some patio seating.
The district set aside $60,000 for this summer's work. Meanwhile, the district continues to make changes to its meal program. Food Service Director Carly Wells gave an end-of-the-year report to the board and described district efforts to meet new USDA requirements and reduce sodium and cholesterol on the menu. This is Wells' first year in Petersburg. She's emphasized the importance of offering healthier meals with more fruits, whole grains, vegetables, and local ingredients, and fewer processed foods. Wells said she was a very big supporter of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm to School Initiative. That's a grant program aimed at serving local or regionally produced food in school meals.
Last year, I got a grant to get some plants and grow some stuff, and so we've been doing that. This year, we actually got awarded $500. We just got awarded this week. What we're going to do with that $500 is we're going to purchase some fish smokers. We're going to put them outside in the community garden, and we're going to teach kids how to smoke fish so that we can get that fish-to-school component of the farm-to-school initiative. So that'll be really fun to see that. Yeah. And then we can serve some of that for lunches. So that'll be great.
Wells described how her menu changes could help address childhood obesity.
First, offering healthier meals. Teaching children how to have a standardized meal. We're going to the five-meal component plan rather than doing a nutritionist analysis, which, you know, takes into account, like, what's in ketchup. And so it kind of, it's confusing to children. This way they can look at it, they can see that they have, you know, their meat, they have their vegetable, they have the fruit, they have their bread, and they have their milk. So they can visually see the components, and it'll help teach them better, and it helps teach them portion size as well.
According to Wells, changing the way things are served also helps change kids' attitudes towards certain foods.
Nobody really wants to eat a slimy Brussels sprout, but if you have a nice roasted Brussels sprout, it's a lot different than a slimy Brussels sprout.
Hear to hear to that.
Wells said it was about trying to get kids to realize there are different ways of cooking and trying things. In a related issue, the board approved an administration recommendation to increase and standardize the price for school lunch at $3.25. That's up a quarter from the current cost to high school and middle school students, and 75 cents more for the elementary school. They also agreed to decrease the adult breakfast price to $3, down a dollar from the current charge. That's aimed at encouraging more parents to come in and eat in the morning. It might also help that Wells plans to offer fresh baked scones and yogurt parfaits, among other new items, next year. And the board also thanked teacher Jill Wagner for her service to the district. Wagner is resigning to take a position at the Zurich International School in Switzerland. Board member and retired teacher Jim Schwartz credited Wagner for setting up the counseling program at the elementary school.
She established, really, as I mentioned at noon, an exemplary elementary counseling program while I was there. And I think there are a lot of students and families and parents who are better people because of her program, or program she helped work through. So sorry to see her go, but it's a great opportunity for her too.
In her resignation letter, Wagner expressed her thanks to the district, saying it had been an honor and a pleasure. She plans to keep her home in Petersburg and return each summer. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.